With President Obama in Cuba today, the prickliest U.S. relationship in the hemisphere may be with Venezuela now. We'll have a report. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. U.S. gasoline prices have just topped $2 a gallon nationally, with crude oil moving back above $40 a barrel. But 40 isn't enough to help countries that sell lots of oil for a living. Arguably, the worst-hit petrostate is Venezuela, where inflation's crazy, the currency's worthless, and there are shortages of everything. Marketplace's Scott Tong tells the story from Caracas, using the humble hot dog as an instructive metaphor.
There's the simple chili cheese dog. And then there's the Venezuelan pepito, a gastronomic creation that takes street junk food to a whole different level. Like the country's economy, the pepito's issues come in layers. First, you start with a big sob roll and a small hot dog. Pepito street seller Francisco Peña takes it from there.
We add beef, chicken, chorizo, and bacon, and corn, and cheese, and onions. It's very distinctive.
And mustard, mayo, guacamole, and ketchup, and crushed potato chips. Tastes great, awfully filling. The first one I ate cost 900 local bolivars. And then I went back 3 days later, and a new price was stuck on top, 1,050. Peña blames cost inflation.
If you go buy a pack of sausages, it's 9,000. And then tomorrow it's 15,000. It's crazy. Some ingredients we can find, but sometimes we can't, not even bread.
The underlying problem, think of it metaphorically as the hot dog itself, is Venezuela runs entirely on oil. Historian Miguel Tinker Salas at Pomona College says it's been that way for decades, even though the country does have potential elsewhere.
In agriculture, in mining, tourism, etc. But those were all sacrificed because oil was the most expedient, most quick, and easiest to provide revenue.
Layered on top of that, the government overspent its oil money. It borrowed, it printed money, and it brought inflation, perhaps somewhere between 180% and 400%. On top of that, oil prices have crashed, so there's not enough revenue to buy imports, including the most mundane ingredients, say tomato paste for ketchup. So Venezuela's two ketchup producers have gone dark. Here's pollster and analyst Luis Vicente León.
For one of them, they cannot find the tomato paste. For the second one, they are not obtaining the cap for the bottle because it's imported.
Our pepito seller likely buys his ketchup from a smuggler. There's lots available on the black market. But in his case, the black market has also backfired on him personally. His family lives in Maracaibo, which is far away. Once he brought food to them, but along the way, soldiers stopped him and assumed he was a smuggler. So they took his stuff, perhaps resold it themselves. It's just another layer in Venezuela's misery, corruption. In Caracas, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets now. London's FTSE is up about 0.2%. The key stock index in Shanghai rose 2.2% after the government there loosened the rules on borrowing money to trade stocks. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. Lawyers for the Federal Trade Commission will be in federal court today concerning the proposed merger between Staples and Office Depot. The government is arguing that letting the numbers one and two office stuff chains in America combine will create monopoly conditions, restricting competition. From the Marketplace desk at OPB, Mitchell Hartman reports.
The FTC says monopoly control and less competitive pricing would hurt business customers. But Staples and Office Depot insist they'll still face plenty of competition to sell office supplies at the lowest price. S&P equity analyst Ephraim Levy agrees.
You just have to make an electronic click on your screen.
Think Amazon.
If Staples or Office Depot or the combination doesn't have the best price compared to Amazon or others, the consumers have an easy opportunity to make their purchases elsewhere.
But antitrust lawyer Mark Ostrow says this isn't about regular consumers shopping for pens and paperclips.
A certain class of customer, large national buyers, doesn't have the same alternates because it's not just the products, but it's the whole package of service and support and distribution.
Ostra says the FTC doesn't want that competition to shrink down from two big office suppliers to just one. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This week, Nashville is hosting a kind of Grand Ole Opry for people in the postal industry. I'm sure there will be some music, but the focus will be on the future of what is, behind Walmart and the federal government, the third largest employer in America. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
After more than a decade of belt tightening, the Postal Service is starting to add jobs and increase hours. But long-term financial problems threaten the stability associated with the Postal Service job. Rick Geddes at Cornell University wrote a book on the USPS.
The days when a person could start off in the Postal Service and be assured that for the next 30 years, they were going to have this pretty steady job doing kind of the same thing is probably over.
A lot of the red ink comes from debt and pre-funding retirement benefits.
Today we're looking at unfunded liabilities that are about 125% more than their revenue in 2015, and we don't see that getting better anytime soon.
That's Lori Rectanis, who researches the post office at the Government Accountability Office. But new partnerships are slowly increasing revenues.
It's a $69 billion entity. It's bringing in good money. It's trying to become efficient.
The GAO says unless things improve, retirement benefits for workers could be at risk. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And at a time when smartphones have become almost the size of a standard business envelope, Apple is expected to launch a smaller iPhone today, at least compared to the iPhone 6. The new one, called the SE, should be about 4 inches tall, pretty close to the old 5 and 5C, but with the chip inside for Apple Pay, where you wave the thing like a magic wand that drains money from your bank account. You might like these smaller dimensions and cheaper price tags, and it's predicted so will many customers in Africa, the Middle East, and South Asia. For more on this, you can check out Marketplace Tech online. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.